about the ignorance of man. That sounds like a pretty harsh title, the ignorance of man, because we typically think of the word ignorant as being, you know, something derogatory towards somebody, and it certainly can be. But that's the title that I think is best suited for the things that I want to talk to you about this morning, the ignorance of man. And as I looked through some of these things that I studied, I kind of thought about there are three different reasons that we could be called ignorant. One of those reasons is because we simply don't have the knowledge of any particular circumstance or situation or thing. We just don't have the knowledge of it. There are things that I am ignorant about. I am ignorant about how to build a rocket that flies into space. It's not because I'm, you know, dumb or maybe unintelligent. It's simply because I just don't have that knowledge. I've never been exposed to that knowledge. So if somebody were to say, Luke, are you ignorant? I would probably have to ask him, like, well, it depends on what you're talking about. Yeah, building rockets, yeah, I'm pretty ignorant about that. I don't know much about that. Or, you know, the list for me goes on and on and on and on. So sometimes being ignorant about something just simply means you don't have knowledge of that. Sometimes you might be ignorant of something because you had some knowledge of it, but if you're a lot like me, you may have forgotten that you had knowledge of those things. You know, again, I always talk about, you know, baseball, sports, and things like that, because that's what we do some with the boys. And one of the things that we tell some of those players is if they're struggling or they're having, you know, a bad game or something, you know, we always tell them, say, listen, you got to have a short memory. You know, if you get up there and you don't do what you feel like you can do when you're batting, you come back in and your memory needs to be short. You need to forget it and then turn around and start back over. And so sometimes short memories are good things. Sometimes short memories are not very good things. You know, in our household, I've preached before on how do you express love or how do you receive love? And everybody seems to be maybe a little different. The things that, you know, the way I let you know that I love you may be a little different than the way another person lets you know that they love you. And apparently around our house, the way that you know you are loved is if you're constantly roasted by another family member. You know, I mean, it's we have a good time with our family. We laugh a lot, and there's a lot of picking and a lot of joking that goes on. And that's just kind of how we express our love for each other. We laugh. Now, that's not the only way, obviously, but speaking of short memories, you've all probably all heard the joke where, you know, you say, you know, Pete and Repeat are sitting on a fence, right? You all heard that joke? And Pete falls off, and who's left? And the person says, Repeat. And you say, well, Pete and Repeat are sitting on a fence. Pete falls off, who's left? And you get them to say Repeat over and over and over and over. It's a little joke we had as kids. So around our house, the way our roasting or sarcasm might go is I'll say, hey, kids, you know, I was over at the Dollar General over here and I ran into so-and-so, forgetting that I had just told them that. And they'll say, yeah, was Pete there? And that's their way of letting me know, like, yeah, Dad, you just told us there. So if you're ever talking to anybody in the Hagler family and they say something about Pete in the conversation, that's their fun way of saying, yeah, you just told me or you've already told me. So, but sometimes I just forget. You know, I told you the other day, I took some headache medicine, and 2 minutes later, I couldn't remember if I had taken it. And I had to go digging through the trash to see if I could find the little packet of headache medicine that I was going to take. We just forget things. So sometimes it's not that I don't have knowledge of it. It's just somewhere in my brain, it has been put off in a corner, and it's there, but I'm just not able to recall it. Sometimes I'm ignorant because of that. Sometimes we are ignorant because, and this is where the root of this word comes from, sometimes we're ignorant because we choose to ignore what we know. We choose to ignore what is proved, is evident, is true, and we just simply say, I'm just going to pretend that that doesn't exist. Yeah, I know it's over there, but I'm just going to ignore it. And so we may be ignorant in that sense. So there's multiple reasons we may be ignorant. Now, sometimes if we're called ignorant, it might be a little derogatory. And sometimes it may just mean they just don't really know exactly the details of this situation. I wouldn't encourage you to go out and call anybody ignorant, though, because the general consensus is this is a very bad term. But you might be interested to find that in the Bible, there are, I want to say, 8, maybe 9 times in the Bible that we are instructed to not be ignorant about certain things. Now, again, He may be saying to us, I don't want you to be ignorant in the sense that you've never heard these things. I want you to learn them. He may be saying, I don't want you to be ignorant in the sense that I don't want you to forget these things. Or he may be saying, I don't want you to be ignorant in the sense that you just choose not to believe them or ignore them. So I think there's 8 or 9 different times in the Bible where we're where either somebody, you know, it might be an apostle, the Lord himself saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about these particular things. You know, if you think about in Romans, the 10th chapter, this is not my subject, but in Romans, the 10th chapter, notice this. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We know that that is not talking about from hell. Amen. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So what's the deal here? Here is something that they believe, but it is not according to knowledge. It means that they lack the information. They don't know these things. And he says, for they being ignorant. Did Paul ever call anybody ignorant? Yes. Was he being mean and ugly to them? No. He was simply making the statement that they have a zeal of God, it's not according to knowledge, and they are ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. So what he's saying here, here's a group of people that either have totally ignored the truth, or maybe they have just never really heard the truth, but for whatever reason, they are very zealous for God, but it's not according to knowledge. And Paul says, I want you to be saved from that ignorance. So he wants to teach them so they'll have the information that they need so they will no longer be ignorant about God's righteousness. What does that look like in today's time? That looks in today's time just like it looked here. That Paul is saying that salvation and your righteousness is of God and according to his works, not our own. That's all he's saying. I don't want you to be ignorant of that. He also says over in 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, I believe. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Again, this is Paul writing. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Here's some things that Paul does not want them to be ignorant about. He says that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even life. That's being in a tough spot. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And he's simply saying there that this cause we're ready to die for. We have reconciled in our hearts that this journey that we're on, this gospel that we carry, will bring us to our death, and we're good with that. We've reconciled to that. And it says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, so death is not an issue to them. And he said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us. If you ever have any doubt, does prayer help? Does prayer work? Well, Paul believed it did, because he says, in this tribulation that we're going through, in this suffering and the persecution, insomuch that we despair life and we've consented that we are ready to die for this cause, in the midst of all of that, he says, but your prayers are helping us. So never forget to pray for people, for the election, for different things in life. But he says here, I don't want you to be ignorant of how much trouble we have endured because of the gospel. I want you to know that. I want you to be aware of that. But I also want you to be aware that God has delivered us from that. I also want you to be aware that we're not afraid of the persecutions that are going to come from that. I want you to know these things. We also read in 2 Corinthians where it talks about that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, and that's 3 of, like I said, 8 or 9 times that I found where we're instructed to not be ignorant about something. Now, being ignorant of Satan's devices would be something maybe I'll preach on that soon. I'd love to preach on being ignorant of Satan's devices, because I feel like we are. You know, he's not an idiot. Satan is described as being subtle and crafty, and he is wiser and more intelligent than we are. He knows the scriptures better than we are. Who better to twist the scriptures just enough to get us off base than somebody that knows them very, very well? And what we see day after day after day is we see God's people embracing the devices of Satan, celebrating them, being entertained by them, walking in the midst of them, and having no clue that they are victims to the devices of Satan. Now, the Bible says don't be ignorant to that. You need to have a great knowledge of that. And if you don't feel like you've got a great knowledge to the ignorance of Satan, sit down and talk with Brother Tim or myself. I would love to sit down and say, let me tell you how I see Satan running his devices and just weaving them into our society, into the things that we're exposed to, in so much that we go out and we, as children of God who've been born again and paid, our sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus, we just basically walk through the midst of it and have no idea. But the Bible says don't be ignorant of that. Now, the one I wanted to talk to you specifically about here for just a few minutes is in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And in verse 1 is where I'll start. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, I would imagine that the history of the Jewish people coming out of Egypt and establishing themselves as a nation was probably very well known. You think about the knowledge that we have about how our country in America was started. Everybody that goes through school learns about, how America got its independence. We even celebrate it on July the 4th. So I imagine that it was very well known how they came out of Egypt and all the many deliverances that God gave them. But Paul says, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about that. I don't want you to be ignorant about the fact that that you were delivered, that you passed through the Red Sea, that he brought you water from the rock, that he brought you manna from heaven. And he says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." And he goes on and says that he talks about how they turned away from the Lord. Even knowing all those things, they became ignorant of those things. Okay, do you remember me talking about sometimes ignorance is not knowing something? And that's okay. We're ignorant of a lot of things. Sometimes ignorance is knowing something but forgetting it. And he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of how I have delivered you." Now, let me say it this way. Forgetting, and you can find this all throughout the Bible, forgetting God's deliverances angers the Lord. The Lord was very upset with his people for forgetting how he had delivered them, established them, walked with them, and fought for them. And they put those things aside and went on to follow the lust after their own hearts, to adopt the things that the evil nations around them were doing, which included child sacrifice, which we would call abortion, and all these pagan practices that they adopted. And the Lord says, "Listen, you have forgotten. You're ignorant about what I was to you and for you and still want to be to you. You have forgotten all of those things, and I'm upset about it. And you've gone off to do all these other things. You're idolaters now." And it says you commit fornication. You're tempting Christ and you murmur. And if you remember, what was it? If I remember correctly, 3 days out of Egypt, 3 days after the Red Sea, 3 days after that, they start to complain and start to say, "I wish we could go back to Egypt." 3 days. And the Lord says, "Listen, through Paul, I don't want you to be ignorant of how I have delivered you, what I am to you, and how much I love you. I don't want you to be ignorant of those things. Now, I want you to think about, and why is that? Number one, because it's very hard to honor the Lord if you forget that the Lord's ever done anything for you. It's very hard to find the strength to resist temptation if you have forgotten that the Lord has ever done anything for you. But when you remember what the Lord has done for you, it's a lot easier to walk that road. And if you think about in 1 Samuel, I think it's 16th, 17th chapter, when it's time for David to fight Goliath and everybody else is scared to death, what does David say? He comes into that battlefield as a shepherd boy, simply delivering something to his brothers. That's all he was there to do. He wasn't there to fight. And he comes in there and he hears the mockery that Goliath is making of the armies of God and the God of Israel. And it upsets him so bad. But he doesn't tremble and his knees aren't knocking and he's not terrified. How does he have that strength when none of these other trained soldiers had? Because he wasn't ignorant of God's deliverances. Maybe they all were, but he's not. Maybe they had all forgotten Egypt. Maybe they had all forgotten the Red Sea and the history of those things. But what David recalled was, you know what? I remember the time I was tending the sheep and a lion and a bear came out to take a sheep away. And I killed it. And he even says, now he didn't stand 100 yards away and kill it with a 270. The Bible says, David says, he recalls it. He says, I took him by the beard. He took him by, this is hand-to-hand combat. Now listen, I would fight a lion and a bear if it was necessary, but I am not looking to. I don't think I can win that fight. But the Lord says the reason I won that fight is because the Lord was with me. He gives credit to the Lord. David is not ignorant about the devices, about the deliverances of the Lord. And he uses that to walk the road to Goliath. And because of that, he brings great victory, not only to himself, but to all of Israel. And just think of the glory that he brought to God that day. The glory over David and Goliath, that's not David's glory. I don't know if any of you guys saw this. I know some of you baseball guys did. But my favorite baseball player, all right, his team's playing in the World Series right now. Game one of the World Series, extra innings, it's tied up, and it's the bottom of the 10th inning. And my favorite baseball player's up to bat. And he hits for the first time ever in the history of baseball, a walk-off grand slam to win the first game of the World Series. And everybody's going nuts. We're jumping up all over the house going crazy. And they brought him over and they're interviewing him. And as they interviewed him, this guy is great. I love him. As they're interviewing him, he said, my dad, since I was a little boy, has thrown batting practice to me day after day after day. And I know a little bit about that because I've thrown a million pitches to my boys. And notice, this is what he said. It almost made me cry thinking about it. You can hear his voice as he talks. It's echoing through the stadium because they've got it playing on the speakers of what he says. And national TV all across the world is watching him. And he has just done something that's never been done in the history of baseball. And he says, this moment is not about me. This is my Father's moment. Now you think about that. David says, this ain't about me. This is my Father's moment. And he brought glory to God. What if David would have been ignorant and forgotten God's deliverances? None of that would have taken place. Do you think it's important when he says, I wouldn't have you be ignorant of how God delivers? I want you to think about that. Now, I had some more things here, but I'm not going to talk about them. But go read about the 10 lepers. One of them came back to thank him because he wasn't ignorant of that deliverance. Think about it in Revelation, the second chapter. Don't quote me on this one. I think it's the church at Ephesus where the Lord's telling them, you've done a lot of good things. But you have forgotten something. You've forgotten how far you had fallen and what I have delivered you from. You have forgotten what you were, and all you're thinking about is what you are now. Now, so my question this morning is, are you ignorant of God's deliverances? Maybe you're ignorant because you just don't realize they were deliverances. I understand that, and that's not throwing stones at you. Sometimes I've not realized God's deliverances until somebody from the outside looking in says, "Do you realize the hand of God in that?" And then I step back and think, you know what? All this time I've been ignorant to that deliverance until this brother or sister pointed that out to me. Sometimes you may be ignorant of how God has delivered you just because you've forgotten. But whatever reason, we need to stop and take a moment to reflect on the past and be very aware of how God has delivered us, because the Bible says, don't be ignorant of it. And I can tell you, this one hit me pretty hard because I'm the world's worst at forgetting God's deliverances. And Tiffany will probably amen that. Because I've had situations come up in my life that are not the first time I have faced those situations. I have faced them multiple times, and the next time it comes back up, I kind of go into panic mode. And Tiffany says, listen, you've taken the lion and you've taken the bear through God's help time after time after time. He has always delivered. He has always been faithful. He will again. Aren't you thankful for godly spouses? Let me leave you with this. Don't forget, and Brother Tim could tell you better than I imagine anybody here, don't forget what Bethlehem was. Don't take for granted what it is right now. Okay? Now, when I came to Bethlehem, it was certainly not what it is now, but it was much more than it was when Brother Tim came. But we used to go over here in this little building over here, and from what Brother Tim tells me, wouldn't be uncommon to have 6 or 8 in a congregation. Maybe 10. Look at it. Look at the building we're in. And so don't just look at us now. Because if you only look at us now and you don't have that baseline for what we were, you'll be ignorant of God's blessings and deliverance. Always look at that. Never forget what you were as ruined, rotten sinners. Never forget that baseline, because you'll never really appreciate what He has made us. That's what He tells the church in Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Go back and think about all the past deliverances that the Lord has given you, and never forget those, because without them, it's very difficult for us to appreciate God.